deal with the last part. Well, actually, verse 10 is where we're going to be. We'll pick up what we said this morning and get this thought about the church at Philadelphia keeping the word of Jesus' patience. And that is a very curious phrase and one that we want to look at tonight. You could probably guess, given all the songs that we've sung and the things that I've said preemptively, you could probably guess what that means. And I think the Lord, I just think the Lord is pleased when the church is excited to see Him. We get excited sometimes to see a preacher, or excited to see a music group, or, you know, excited to have a fellowship meal or a special service, you know, a Bible conference or a missions conference or a 90th anniversary. Amen. And we can get, and it's okay to get excited about those things, but I think the thing that ought to thrill our heart the most is one day we're going to get to see Jesus. And I think he just sits in heaven and just basks in that glory that's all due to Him. Amen. Every bit of that's due to Him. And He says, boy, you know, they're looking forward to seeing me. And if you read John 17, He's looking forward to seeing us. He said, Father, I pray that those You've given Me be with Me where I am. And man, wouldn't you, if you died for somebody and still were alive somehow, you know, and they were excited to see you, think how you'd feel. Man, think how you'd feel. But we are looking forward to seeing our Lord. I believe the church at Philadelphia was looking for the rapture. They were looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ to come in those clouds and take them out. And I hope that that's our hope tonight. I hope we're looking for that. Revelation chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse 8. The Bible says, Jesus here speaking to the church in Philadelphia. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. That's what we looked at this morning. And hast not denied my name. That'll be Wednesday night. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. And here's the connotation, right? Here's the context of that, right? We don't ever want to be guilty of preaching the Bible in a vacuum. We want to get the context of it because it gives so much more clarity and it helps us keep things dispensationally in the right lane. And so He says here, thou hast kept the word of my patience. Look what Jesus says He'll do for these saints. He says, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And I believe that's an obvious reference to the 7-year tribulation of Jacob's trouble. And a church that misses that is a pre-tribulational rapture. And I'm going up in that. Even if I die, my body's in the grave. My body's coming out of that grave before God pours His wrath out on this earth in that time of tribulation. And you just know it's such a blessing to see this in the book of Revelation. You get to, you know, John in chapter 1, John's describing Jesus Christ, and you know, John's in the Lord's, in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and all these things. He's going to get these letters to write to the 7 churches, and chapter 2 and chapter 3 is all about the churches, these 7 churches of Revelation. And chapter 4, if you'll look with me, and verse 1, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. I think that might be a door that no man can open but Jesus. And the first voice, which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. And what did the trumpet say? Come up hither. And I'm sorry, but 1 Thessalonians 4 says that and when the last trump sounds, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That just sounds like the rapture. I know it's not right there, right? That's John individually, but what a picture that is. And so you've got the church in chapter 1, the church in chapter 2, the church in chapter 3 of Revelation, and in chapter 4, the first verse, the first voice that he hears is a trumpet saying, come up hither. And don't you know the church doesn't show up again to Revelation 19? When Jesus is on His white horse, and you and I are on our white horses, clothed in linen, Abby, the righteousness of the saints. And here we come back with Him. And He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And those of us that are saved are going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. You can't make a man could not have put that together with such clarity. And yet there's the Lord giving us the idea and the doctrine that the church will not go through the tribulation time. And of course, there's a dozen other reasons why the church won't go through the tribulation time. It's called the time of great tribulation. It's also called the time of Jacob's trouble. And Jacob is Israel. And I'm not Israel. I'm born again. And so that is God's dealing with the nation of Israel and all the things. It's all in preparation and purging in preparation for the King of Kings to sit on the throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And that Antichrist only gets 3.5 years, but Jesus gets 1,000 years. And so anyway, we could talk a lot about that tonight. We won't go into all that. But that is, I believe, what the word of patience is referencing. It's referencing what the Bible calls in Titus chapter 2, our blessed hope. In fact, if you would turn over there with me, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I'll read these and we'll pray tonight. Titus chapter 2, and the Bible says in verse 13, after it talks about the grace of God that teaches us to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. I know Brother Mark's teaching on that, the phrases of the song Amazing Grace in Sunday school. I think that's a fantastic concept. It really is. And anyway, verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope. The blessed hope. And what is that? And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Thank you, Lord. That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And the Bible says, these things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Come on back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's just get these proof texts for the rapture. The timing of the rapture is obviously before this time of great tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 4, and I'll begin reading here in verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now Titus called it our blessed what? Hope. Blessed hope. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, you're not like those people out there that have no hope. You've got a hope if you're saved tonight. His name's Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, I believe that. How about you? Amen. Amen. It says, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Well, isn't that convenient? I mean, that's only what we studied this morning. The Lord gave the word. The church at Philadelphia kept the word. They didn't just keep the word, but they kept the word of Jesus' patience. And here it says, we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not CNN telling you this. It's not Facebook. It's not AI telling you this. Hallelujah. Amen. This is God Almighty telling you this. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, he said that in John 14, didn't he? He said, if I go prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again. He said, I won't send an angel. I'm not going to send the old saints to get you and meet you at the river crossing like all the gospel songs want to be, you know. No, Jesus said, I'm going to come get you myself. And the Bible says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's something to look forward to. That's a blessed hope. Listen, man, all that going on over in Iran, let it go on. I got a better hope one day. Well, what if they shoot a nuclear warhead and hit Washington, D.C.? We'll get there quicker. I mean, come on, you can't be too worried about that stuff. You ought to pray about it. But you can't be sitting in fear in America wondering, is Russia going to bomb us? Is China going to bomb us? Is Iran going to bomb us? If they bomb you and you're saved, you're going to heaven. Amen. That's a blessed hope. And if they don't bomb us, and you could be going to work tomorrow, not thinking about anything spiritual, and the trumpet could sound, you'd be face to face with Jesus in the clouds. That's a blessed hope. Amen. All right. And all that great doctrine about the rapture. Verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another. That ought to be a comfort to us, church. It's our blessed hope. It's the thing we're looking forward to. It's the next event. You know, it's the next, and it is imminent. It could happen at any moment. That moment in the twinkling of an eye could be the next moment. Okay, what now? It could be the next moment. You understand? It could be that quick. And yet it's the next thing that's going to happen on God's calendar, and we ought to be looking for it. And I think this church at Philadelphia, listen, you know, I didn't go look. Somebody's got a Scofield Bible in Revelation 3. What's the date? AD 96. Okay. So you're 100 years after Christ. Okay. Even 100 years after Jesus was on the earth, they're looking for him. Paul's looking for him 34 years later. You understand? AD 34, Paul says it could happen any moment. And that was under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 100 years later, they're looking for him. Boy, don't you know, as the church ages went in church history, don't you know, boy, those dark ages, they were looking for Jesus. Holding on to those scriptural passages that they had memorized and hidden in their heart, amen. And then you get to that Philadelphian age and the missionary movement. And I've heard guys say this, and I agree with them. I've heard missionaries say this even today and back in those days, being quoted as saying, Lord, would you give us one more day that we might see a few more people saved? Lord, would you just tarry your appearing? Just one more week, Lord, let us get this crusade in, see if somebody else gets saved. I just think Jesus was pleased with that. He was pleased with that attitude. He was pleased with that foresight and that holding on to the hope that he's going to come back and get his church just like he said he was going to. All those disciples standing there on the Mount of Olives in Acts 1, and Jesus just starts floating up in front of them as he's talking to them, and they're just standing there gazing to heaven, and the angels say, what are y'all looking at? And he said, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner. Man, that's a different dispensation, but it's still Jesus coming. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go to Romans 15. Romans 15. So I just I'll go ahead and give you all the, of what I think that word of patience is. It's the patient waiting for Jesus Christ to rapture the church home. Or it's the patient continuance of a saint maintaining a pilgrim and a stranger mindset as they walk this earth and they walk this earthly path that they're on, and their life ends in death, and they're still waiting, they're still longing, they're still anticipating seeing their Savior. And boy, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so whether we go by the grave or whether we go by the air, we're going to be with Jesus, those of us that are saved. And that's a blessed hope. That's a real comfort. Listen, you hear that news, the U.S. has bombed Iran. And you think, that's my reaction. I don't know if I'm for that or not, Brother Gary. I mean, we don't know the intel. We don't know the politics. We don't have any clue. But just knowing how volatile that area is and the allies to Iran, you kind of sit there and think, And you say, Lord, I hope you turned that heart. Because Lord, if you didn't turn that heart, we're going to have some trouble. You understand? But that shouldn't scare us. Lord's not given us a spirit of fear, power and of love and of a sound mind. And you know what will help you and I cope with that kind of news and with those surprise things that may happen on the national, international scale? If we'll just concern ourselves with being faithful to Jesus Christ, all that stuff just fades into oblivion. Turn your eye, the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. All right, Romans 15, verse 4 tonight. Romans 15, verse 4, the Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, thank you, Lord, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, one of the great things about the Word of God is it tells man where he came from. It tells man what his problem is right now. It tells man the solution for that problem. And it tells him where he can go for all of eternity. And God is such a gentleman. He's such a wonderful, kind, loving God that he says, you know what? And I'm going to give every man, I'm going to give every woman, I'm going to give every boy and every girl that ever lives down there, I'm just going to give them the choice. I gave them my word. They can choose between heaven and hell. It's their choice. I gave them my word. They can choose between sin and a savior. It's their choice. Amen. I gave them everything that they need down there in my word and preserved it to them. And in those last days, everybody's got a choice. Well, God's good. But the Bible calls it patience and comfort of the scriptures, giving hope. And of course, Romans is written to born again believers like me and you living in Rome, Italy. And so you and I, by reading the Word of God and by studying the Word of God and by knowing what God said in here, we have comfort and we have hope. But you know, there's just some things we're going to have some patience with. Verse 5, now it says, now the God of patience. Man, God's patient, isn't he? He's patient with me, he's patient with you. But he's also patient, and the Bible calls it long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I think here's the difficulty for born-again believers like me and you. We rejoice. Jesus could show up in those clouds any moment. And we say, yes, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen? We're looking for that. But at the same time, the Lord says, But I don't want Trump to die and go to hell. And I don't want Spanberger to die and go to hell. And I don't want Obama to die and go to hell. And so he says, you know, I'll just stay put for a little while. And we're thinking, Lord, how much longer? How much longer can you wait, Lord? Didn't some of God's choice servants ask him that question? How much longer, Lord? David asked that. Jeremiah asked that. How much longer? And the Lord in his wisdom knows the answer to that. But boy, he's a patient God. And so if he's patient, his children ought to be patient. If God's long-suffering, we ought to be long-suffering. And as we're longing for and looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ, the day of Christ, when we get raptured out of here, and we don't have to deal with all the heartache, we don't have to deal with the sin, we don't have to deal with the wickedness of this world, at the same time, we need to have the patience of God that looks at the people all around us that are dying and going to hell and say, I don't want them to go to hell either, Lord. I want them to get saved too, Lord. You died for all of them, Lord. It's kind of a hard, you got to play both sides of that thing. And Philadelphia did. The church in Philadelphia kept the word of Jesus' patience. And I believe a lot of that was, yes, they're looking for him, but they're also out there through that open door. They're ministering the gospel to as many people as they could. And Jesus threw the door wide open for them to do it. Because he's a patient. He's the God of patience. He's not willing that any should perish. Now listen, I get as mad as anybody else that's a red-blooded American when the liberals start smacking their mouths and running their mouth about ignorant stuff. I do too. I get so mad about that. But the Holy Spirit has to remind me, but Jesus died for him. Jesus died for her. Next Sunday morning, unless the Lord changes my mind, I'm going to preach on those mischievous laws. Out of Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 94, 95 in there somewhere. But guys, we gotta have the patience of God while we're on this earth. And the patience of God wants people to get saved. And so it's great to look for the blessed hope, but we're looking for the blessed hope while we're also trying to get the gospel out and see people saved. Okay. All right. Romans chapter 2. And I believe that's what was going on in Philadelphia. Romans 2. This was also happening there, no doubt. Romans chapter 2 and verse 1. Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. I agree with that. How about you? God's judgment is true. It's righteous. It's holy. It's absolutely right. It's according to truth. Against them which commit such things, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? That's kind of a curious thing, isn't it? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? There's some patience, amen? There's the patience of God. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And we can preach a whole message on that. And we have preached on that in my time here. But you know, we pitch it this way sometimes. We're witnessing to somebody and we say, listen, if you die in your sins, you'll go to the lake of fire for all of eternity. And Jude does say to save some with fear, pulling them out of the fire. But Romans says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. The fact that a man would realize, a woman would realize, I've sinned against God, and yet he still let me eat today. I sinned against God, and he didn't kill me in that car wreck. I've sinned against God, and he got me out of that hospital and away from that cancer. You understand? It's the goodness of God, the Bible says, that leads men to repentance. And that repentance is godly sorrow over their sin. And it's a shameful thing that God has been so good to me, and I've been so wicked toward him. It's just a different perspective. And he goes on to say this, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now watch this. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. You know what those folks are going to hear at the judgment seat of Christ? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Through patient continuance, the Bible says, in well-doing. Lord, may that be the case at Spring City Baptist Church. God, may that characterize every saint in this sanctuary and a part of this membership. God, help us with patient continuance to keep doing right and keep doing well and keep ministering, Lord, and keep obeying you and keep doing what your word says to do. Amen. What a great thing that would be. He says, but unto them that are contentious, there's an alliterated message. Amen. Continuance and contentious. And do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first and also the Gentiles. Let's head over to James chapter 5 now. James chapter 5. So I believe the church of Philadelphia, they were looking for Jesus, looking for him to come in the clouds and appear as the great God and our Savior. They were looking for people to get saved. They shared God's patience and long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And they were patiently, or in that continuance and patience, doing right and ministering for Jesus and obeying the word of God. And what a great commendation that is. James chapter 5, verse 7. James 5, 7, the Bible says, be patient therefore, brethren. Aren't you glad I didn't stop there? Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Obviously, that is a reference to the appearing of Jesus Christ. Come back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I know we were in chapter 4 earlier, but look at chapter 3. Because that theme is woven all, that rapture theme is woven all through the book of 1 Thessalonians. Because they had some guys coming in telling them that Jesus had already come back. And they missed it. And they were telling them that once their loved ones who were saved, once they died, they'd never see them again. Just the devil stirring up trouble. And so the Lord just writes some of the most blessed words in the Bible to set all that stuff straight. And it's what you and I hang on to as our blessed hope. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Wherefore, when we can no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. That was all wonderful. Anybody see any patience in there? I bet that's 2 Thessalonians, what you want to bet. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians 3. That's really good stuff. I've also found this, and some of you guys that teach and fill in from time to time, maybe you'll understand this. You know, when you're studying your Bible in 2 Thessalonians 3, across the top of the page on the other side, it says 1 Timothy 1. And that, sometimes you're going to glance down 1 Timothy 1, you know, 1 Timothy 3, 5, and that ain't where you need to be. But it happens, okay? 2 Thessalonians 3. All right, finally, brethren, verse 1. Pray for us. Boy, this is a great prayer. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. We pray that for this church every time we get together. 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, and you better be praying that every day that you live on this earth. 3. But the Lord is faithful. Boy, he is. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil. That's what Jesus prayed for in John 17. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Here it is, verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for who? For Christ. That's the waiting for the appearing of Jesus to catch the bride away. Okay. All right, Revelation 1. Well, I tell you what. John, 1 John 3, on our way back to Revelation 1. 1 John 3. We've seen tonight that the appearing of Jesus, the rapture of the church, is called our blessed hope. It's the thing that we're looking forward to, the next thing on God's calendar. We're anxiously anticipating it at any moment. And so 1 John 3, and if you'll remember this, just to remind you, as if we've taught through these things before, how to keep things straight in your Bible, when the Bible's talking about the rapture, sometimes, like in 1 Thessalonians 4, it talks about the coming of the Lord. But most of the references you're going to see is called the appearing of Christ, or it's called the day of Christ. That's all about the rapture. Okay. The second advent of Jesus, when he comes and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, which is prophesied in Revelation 19, and we in white horses coming back with him. Okay, that's the second advent. That's also called the coming of Jesus. And that's why people get that stuff confused sometimes. But you'll see that called the day of God or the day of the Lord. Okay. And so you can sort of keep those things squared away and straight as to know which one God's talking about. 1 John 3 is case in point. Verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall, and the word is, appear. So this is talking about the rapture. This talking about the catching away before the time of Jacob's trouble. Which would be right, because he's talking to saved people. He says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And that's Philippians 3:21, when our vile bodies are fashioned like unto his glorious body. 1 Corinthians 15, this corruptible body puts on incorruption. This mortal body puts on immortality. And how quick does that happen? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15. It says, for we shall see him as he is. And that's a great day. We can't wait for that day. But verse 3 tells us what to do while we're still here. And every man that hath this hope, boy, there's that word again. Every man that hath this hope in him does what? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. said, "Preacher, I cannot wait to see Jesus in the air. If that's truly the case tonight, then I would expect a pure life out of those of us that are really looking for that. Because if we're really looking for that, we know it could happen any moment. We don't have time for sin. Jesus might come back. We don't have time for arguing and fussing and fighting. Jesus might appear and rapture us home. We don't have time for laziness. Jesus might show up." Amen. If we have that hope, what's that? It's the hope of His appearing, that blessed hope in Titus 2. The Bible says that we'll purify ourselves even as Jesus is pure. Okay, Revelation 1. Revelation 1, we're done. Quick note here. Revelation 1, thank you for your attention. I hope it's been a blessing to you. See, it'd be hard to cram all that in 10 minutes at the end of the message this morning, wouldn't it? I mean, all you could do would be hit the wave tops of it. But then give it a good message on Sunday night and reaffirm everybody's confidence that Jesus is going to come get us before the tribulation time. That's worth it, man. That's good stuff. Praise the Lord for this Bible. All right, Revelation 1, the Bible says this, verse 9. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom," watch now, "and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God," that's why he's in prison, "and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." And boy, listen, hold on to that thought. The testimony of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus commended the church at Philadelphia. He said, "You didn't deny my name." And there's John in prison because he's associated with Jesus. We'll get all that on Wednesday night, but I want to come back to this where John says he's the companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. And so John he's in prison, as you know, and he's suffering for the cause of Christ. And all those churches that are out there that are still free, church at Ephesus, church at Smyrna, they're going through some serious persecution, but they're still there. And you got Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis, Philadelphia, and even Laodicea. We don't know if Laodicea is looking for Jesus. Seems like they've turned their eyes on themselves. But the other six churches, looking for the Lord. And John says, "I am your companion in the patience of Jesus Christ." And you know, so many times we'll go visit somewhere, go visit another church, or somebody visits here, and inevitably, the rapture comes up. Inevitably, we'll be talking about things, and somebody say, "Well, you know, unless Jesus comes back." And I've gotten into the habit now of saying, you know, somebody says something will happen in 3 years, I'm saying, surely we'll be in heaven by then. But you know, guys, it really ought to permeate our life. It ought to be a major thing in our minds and in our hearts that we're looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ. I remember Brother Knox preaching on this a few years ago, and he was saying back in the 70s when he got saved, he said everybody was convinced Jesus was coming in the 70s. I mean, you think about what was going on in America in the 70s, right? This country was tanking morally quicker than anybody could ever dream. And you had the guys coming back from Vietnam and all the anti-military and authority attitude and the pot smoking and the peace and the hippie, right? All that stuff. And he said, man, when he got saved, he said everybody thought Jesus was coming back in the 70s. And he didn't. And then, you know, you had all these date setters in the 80s. Okay, Jesus going to come back on whatever those dates are. And he didn't. In the 90s, everybody sort of started forgetting about it. And then 2000 come around and, oh man, the computers are going to blow up and the cars aren't going to work. And that clock clicked over and everything went right on just like normal. And so it's almost like Y2K came and the world didn't end and everybody quit thinking about Jesus. I mean, that's my generation. Right? I was 18 years old, Y2K. And so he didn't come back. The world didn't end. Well, let's get busy and go buy and sell and get gain. And 2000s, 2010s, really people didn't sober up until 2020 when COVID came and everybody was convinced Jesus is coming back. And he didn't. And we're on the verge of forgetting about him again. But I do think there's probably enough political unrest in the world today. There's enough division and political unrest in America today. I think people are still mindful of the fact of what the Bible says about these last days. And guys, it's just a prime opportunity for those of us that are saved and looking for that blessed hope to tell others about our blessed hope. And to join God in that patient waiting for souls to be saved. Yes, we're patiently waiting for Jesus, but man, there's stuff we got to do while he's coming. While he's waiting up there and tarrying his appearing, there's things we got to be doing. Understand this, if God gives us tomorrow, we live through tomorrow and Jesus doesn't appear, that's one less day we get to live for him. One less opportunity to tell somebody about the Lord. One less chance to pass that tract out. I quite enjoy serving the Lord. I'm looking forward to seeing him, but I like serving him too. And you know, when it's over, I mean, it'll be over. That's it. The opportunity that you and I have as the church, as Holy Ghost indwelt believers in a fallen world, that it's over. That dispensation, the door closes. And so I hope every day we live, we view it that way. Could be my last day down here. It's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because it fills you with great hope and anticipation, but at the same time, it ought to fill us with an urgency. Man, if the Lord comes today, I don't get to do this anymore. If the Lord comes before July 4th, I don't get to ride through town for the 32nd year. You know? If the Lord comes before and appears before October 31st, I don't get to see 44. Some of you still looking at me like I'm a baby. It's okay. But let's join John. Let's join the church at Philadelphia. And join these other saints in years past. In the patient waiting for the Lord. And keeping the word of his patience.